I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome this morning. We're just glad that you have come to show your appreciation what the Lord has done for us. Last Sunday, we were all invited to the table of communion, and we partook of the Lord's body, his broken body and his spilled blood. And today, we want to thank him for what he has done for us. Not that we don't want to thank him all year, but especially today, we want to give thanks to him. Let us open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for also taking care of us this past week. And Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your love that you have for us. And Heavenly Father, we also thank you for providing for us. We know that all the things that we need for our daily living, like food and raiment, shelter, all comes from you. And you have also promised that you will provide our needs. But we do not want to take these things for granted. And Lord, even though you have provided for our bodies, we thank you evermore for providing for our soul. For your Son, Jesus, who died for our souls, that our souls can be with him when he comes again. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you also for the Comforter that you have sent us, the Holy Spirit, that leads and guides us not only to that heavenly home, but also in our daily lives. And let us remember that this is a power available to us, and this is a power that is stronger than Satan. And so let us use what you have intended it for. And Heavenly Father, we just once again ask that you be with us here this morning in spirit as we look into your word and bring you thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to number 31, Come We That Love the Lord. Number 31.
Join in a song with sweet accord. And Have you any room for Jesus? Number 140.
Now, to be thankful, obviously someone has to given us something or has done something for us. We don't just go up to an individual and thank him for just for nothing. There has to be a reason. And when we thank someone here on earth, it is still giving thanks to the Lord, because the Lord has created that individual. So we cannot get away without thanking God. But what are we thanking God for? Especially today, what are we thanking him for? We thank him for what he has done for us. Yes, God has provided salvation for us. And how did he provide salvation? He provided salvation by sending his only begotten Son. And our minds probably cannot comprehend that kind of a love. There was a people that God had created in his own image. And yet this people had rejected him, had gone against him. And even they had gone against him, he was willing to send his Son so that he could have communion with them again. And it is a gift. This is a gift that we want to thank him for. And as a child of God now, we have a goal. Our goal is eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. Now, most successful companies, they will set goals. They have a 5 or 10 year plan. They want to know where they want to be at that time. And to reach that, they have to have a plan. And as Christians, we also have a goal. It is not a 5 or a 10 year plan, but rather it is a plan that is one day at a time till eternity. And there is only one plan available. When we go on a trip, we can look at the map and find the place where we want to go. And very often there's different routes we can take. Shorter ones, longer ones, scenic, not so scenic. But this route to eternity, there's only one way. In order to follow that route, we need to go to God's Word. God's Word has the directions to that eternal life. Yes, Jesus said that he had prepared a place for us. So if Jesus said that he has prepared a place for us in heaven, then there must be a way. And there is a way. Jesus also provided that way to get there. How did he provide this way? Did he pave it? Did he gravel it? No. He died. He died for our sins. Yes, Jesus is that way to that eternal life. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The Apostle Paul is writing here and thanking the Heavenly Father what he has done for us. And this is written, of course, to Christians, to Christians that have the Holy Spirit, because those are the only ones that would be able to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. Yes, we are the ones that will inherit eternal life in heaven. Yes, those that do not have Jesus, those that do not have the Holy Spirit, they cannot look forward to the end of their life. They are not ready. They do not have that peace. Not one of us, of course, is good enough to go to heaven as we were. As sons of Adam, we could have never gone there. But God, he made us partakers. He made us partakers of this inheritance. And how did he do that? Of course, by sending his Son to die for our sins. When we just look at that, what it cost Jesus in order for us to have this inheritance, what he went through. Yes, before he went to the cross, he asked his Father if it wasn't possible to do it another way. He was carrying the burdens of all the sins that had been, that were, that are going to be. They were all upon his shoulders. And Scripture says it was so heavy on him that his sweat drops were like blood. And then he asked his Father, can it be done a different way? And the Father had a son here that had never done anything wrong and asked him of this one favor. And he had to say no. Can we then understand the love that God has for us? Yes, when we believe in Jesus, we are ready for heaven. That qualifies us to be partakers of this inheritance. Yes, we can live a long life of obedience and service, but that does not make us any more ready than the day that we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Now, when we have accepted Jesus, when we are saved, it does not mean that we then just sit back and wait till the time to when Jesus will come again. We still need to work in his kingdom. When he left this earth, he left it up to us to further his kingdom. And there are rewards to have for that, but that's probably a topic on its own. But it is important that we know our destination. If we do not know our destination, how can we then honestly thank God what he has done for us? It is not much use thanking him for something we are not sure of. So can we be sure of this? Or is this something that we just wish for? John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those that hear his words, in other words, those that obey his words, they can know that they are assured of their salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 to 13, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Yes, these words are written for us so that we may know. We also have the Holy Spirit in us. That's the witness that is in us. This witness also assures us. And the Bible teaches that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And so if they are one, we will be there where he is. And if not, then the Bible would be false. But in John 14:3, Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This assurance gives us joy now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to know if we will have eternal life in heaven. We can rejoice now because we know what is ahead of us. And if we have this joy now, we will have peace and will make us a better person and a better witness. And he says, thanking the Lord from delivering us from darkness. Before, we were under the rule of Satan, evil forces. But God has delivered us from these evil forces, and we are now in the light. Meaning that Satan has no more power over us. God is our Father. And like the children of Israel, they were in bondage in Egypt. They were being mistreated. They were slaves. God saw that they were in bondage, and he saw that they were sorry. They repented. And he would free them from the bondage of the Egyptians. And he led them through the desert into that promised land. God has also seen that we repented. And he has led us out of the darkness into the light. Yes, Jesus has bought us. And it cost him a dear price, his blood. That is how much he valued us. And since we are purchased at a cost, it is clear to us that we do not belong to us anymore, not to ourselves. Therefore, we cannot live like we choose. We cannot take our lives and do with it what we want, because then we're taking something that isn't ours and that is stealing. Yes, Jesus paid for it all. He has forgiven us. The debt of sin is all paid for. But Satan, he is still around. He will try to discourage us. He will try to point us back in our past life and try to dig up these sins and try to tell us that they're not forgiven. But God says he throws them into the deepest part of the sea. And as we thank God, we also need to, and Psalm number 96 says, we need to sing a new song. In other words, our past life is gone. Our old life is gone. We are born again. We have a new life. And when we sing a new song, others will notice. And in this song, thanks him for what he has done for us. And that is what we, as children of God, need to do. We need to sing a new song. We need to witness to this world. And when we look around, when we listen to the news, it can be very discouraging. But let us not let that discourage us. God tells us we will be in this world. We have to be in this world. But he says you don't have to be of this world. And there is a big difference. When we're not of this world, then we have this lively hope of everlasting life in heaven. Amen. Before we kneel for prayer, I want to read a prayer request. It's a prayer request for some an individual who has family members in our congregation. The prayer request is for Eben Helmwall and family. Abe Wall has been diagnosed with kidney failure and has been airlifted from Health Science Center to a hospital in Toronto waiting for a kidney transplant. Please pray for a successful surgery and recovery. God's will be done. And so whoever is able, let us kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. With assurance, where two or three are gathered in God's name, our Heavenly Father will hear our prayers.
From the Blue Book, number 110, Sweet Hour of Prayer. 110, could we stand?
My soul has
I want to go to Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to choose that, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Here in this psalm, we don't find anywhere that David asks for anything, but that he is praising the Lord for his blessings that he has given and giving him thanks. In the psalmist here, when we read that psalm, the psalmist expresses things that we feel, but maybe that we cannot express. He tells us to express or to thank the Lord with our entire person, spirit, soul, and body. And we are not to forget all his benefits. We very often take a lot of things for granted. But the psalm has three wonderful blessings. It has the blessings of forgiveness, redemption, and satisfaction. Forgiveness is like a healing when you are sick. In 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Yes, the Savior's agony was not brought on by his own sins, for he had none, but it was brought on by the sins that we had. He was nailed on the cross for our sins. He suffered for our sins, and so let us not put him into that position again. And when we go to verses 10 and 14 in the psalm, it talks about forgiveness. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Yes, if we had received what we deserved, we would be lost in hellfire forever. But his mercy shows us that he did not, or we did not, get what we deserved. God's love for a wonderful plan of salvation was given to us. And that plan of salvation cannot be measured. The writer says, if you could measure the distance between heaven and earth, we would get some idea about how great his love is, but we can't. And what has he done with our sins? He says he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Does the east and the west ever meet? That means that he has thrown them into the bottom of the sea. They are put out of God's sight forever. And he is a father to us, a father that pities us and has a concern for us and will help us wherever he can. And Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 11, says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yes, God looks down upon our weakness, and he knows that without him we are lost. But it is also important that we also realize that without him we are lost. In John chapter 1, verse 29, where Jesus is coming to John, and this is what John says. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, not everyone's sins are taken away or forgiven. Only those who ask for forgiveness. We all have a choice. And the second blessing that we find in the psalm is verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's when Joseph and Mary, they had the baby Jesus. And it was the eighth day, it was a custom to go to the temple. There was a prophetess that was serving God in the church in prayers and fasting. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 38 is what she said. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Yes, Anna the prophetess, she knew that this was a promised redeemer. He came for those that were looking for redemption. And verse 6 and 9 in that psalm explains what our redeemer does. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Yes, these verses are referring back to the children of Israel. Their only hope was God. If God hadn't been there, future would have been very bleak. But he redeemed them from the bondage. And likewise, did the Lord redeem us. And when we take these verses, we can see that they refer to us. We were under the bondage of sin. And if Jesus hadn't come and died on the cross, our future would also be hopeless. But he freed us from sin, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In the Old Testament time, the priest had to enter the holy place once a year and shed blood from an animal. But Jesus came and he shed his blood once and for all. He does not have to do it again. He has obtained eternal redemption for us. But even though he has retained eternal redemption for us, we still, times backslide. But it says that God is patient. He is long-suffering with us. Why? Because he does not want anyone to be lost. Yes, Jesus came to redeem us, and he wants us to give, or he wants us to have every opportunity to receive this gift. And the third blessing that we find in verse 5 is satisfaction. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And he explains it in verse 15 to 18. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Yes, the Lord, he satisfies the longing heart and filleth the hungry soul. No, the Lord does not withhold any good from those who walk uprightly. Even though the outer man is deteriorating, the inner man is renewed day by day. And David compares this to the eagle that looks old but still soars upward with new strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The satisfaction of knowing that his mercy is forever, Yes, this plan of salvation that Jesus brought is not only for us here now, but also for all generations to come. We can be assured of that, and we can have peace over that. When once again we look into the world news, and then we look at our children and grandchildren, how is it all going to work? But the same God that has helped us through everything is there and will be there for them also. We can take peace in that. We can know that the future generations will have the same opportunity as we had for eternal life in heaven. That would be my prayer this morning, that the future generations would also accept that great gift that God has given us. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for all the things that you have let come our way. We especially thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for something he didn't do. He gave his life for the sins that we did, and help us to remember that he needn't have done it. He did it because of his great love for us. He wanted us to share his inheritance with him. And Lord, help us to remember the terrible agony our Savior had to go through so that we can be with him. And if we could have that picture of him hanging on the cross in our minds constantly, I am sure we would do a lot of things differently. And how can we say no to someone who went through all this because he loved us so? Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed at Calvary, the blood that washes our sins whiter than snow. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us. At this time, I have an announcement of an application for membership. Her name is Anne Friesen of Winkler, and she has applied for membership in the Zummerfeld Mennonite Church and has been visited by Reverend Abe Fair and Reverend Art Weeb. And they recommend her acceptance, and if anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact your local ministerial. Could I ask you to please stand, please? Thank you. You may be seated.
Take our blue book and turn to number 177. God be with you. 177.
Securely fold you, God be with you.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for the thankful message this morning. And I'm not sure about all of you, but I know I'm thankful for the rain that God blessed us with recently. So there's another thing to be thankful for, the rain and the sunshine. I mean, without the rain or without the sunshine, where would you be and what would we have? Just a few announcements from the bulletin. Our church does have a handy van, and in the previous years, we have been operating the handy van, and our church board is looking for some volunteers. They need drivers, and they just need also volunteers to run the handy van. And it's in the bulletin here to contact Juan Bergen. His number is there. So if there's anybody who's interested or knows of anybody that would be interested in helping so that we can operate this handy van, that'd be much appreciated. And also, we as a picnic committee, we've been getting together. We've been planning a picnic. It's going to be in September. So mark your calendars for September 10th. Picnic will be in the Winkler Park. It's going to be right after our second service. We'll be gathering there and having our picnic this year. And you're all welcome and hope to see you there. Also, this morning or this at noon, there's going to be potluck. So anybody who's willing and wanting to join, you're welcome to join for potluck. Suzanne and I, we will not be there today for potluck. So we have other plans, but you're more than welcome to come. And also, any proposed resolutions to be brought to the 2023 Annual Brotherhood Meeting need to be forwarded to the Resolutions Committee by July 21st, 2023. The Resolutions Committee, they're Reverend Ron Gerbrandt and Reverend Jake Friesen and Reverend Henry Reimer. So that's for the upcoming Brotherhood Meeting. If anybody has resolutions, to bring them forward before July 21st. And lastly, we had a church cleaning, and the church board would like to say a huge thank you for everyone who came out to help to do a church cleaning. It was very much appreciated. And the more hands, the easier the job. So, and also here, just seeing the list of people to pray for. Let's always keep each other in prayer. But especially, as Jake was talking about, news of the world, news in the world, and I think most of you know about that incident there by Carberry, where 15, I think now it's 16, just crossing the highway, and just in an instant, they're all taken home. So my hearts go out to the families of all those in the Dauphin area, and let's keep them in our prayers. Let's keep each other in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements, Brother Henry. Also, a reminder maybe to keep a seminal bishop ordination in your thoughts and prayers for this afternoon. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.